Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives all to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. According to St. Augustine, a church father and probably the single most significant theologian from the early church, according to him, one who denies the doctrine of the Trinity is in danger of losing their salvation, but one who tries to understand the doctrine of the Trinity is in danger of losing their mind. So today is Trinity Sunday, a day set aside specifically to ponder together the reality that God exists as the Trinity. One God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each of the persons is distinct and yet fully and completely one God. This is who God is. This is who he reveals himself to be. So even though we cannot and do not fully grasp his essence, we acknowledge and worship God as the Trinity. One God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, properly understood, this is not dull, stodgy theology, though, of course, unfortunately, sometimes it has been taught in that way. But the doctrine of the Trinity, this essential characteristic of who God is essential to all that we were made to be and the incredible work of God on our behalf in salvation. So one writer put it this way, said, "What we might assume would be dull or a particular irrelevance turns out to be the source of all that is good in Christianity." So this morning, we're going to look at and turn to one of those goods, one of those good things about Christianity that comes from God, specifically as the Trinity. So last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And today I want us to look at what happens next. What happens next after the full Trinitarian nature of God is displayed? When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they didn't have the words for the Trinity at that time. But as soon as the Holy Spirit comes, as soon as the third person of the Trinity comes, the one that they were missing, when he comes in power on Pentecost, what happens next? Well, immediately after the full Trinitarian nature of God is displayed and poured out on his people, what happens next is they promptly begin to live out a new fullness in their community together. When the Trinitarian nature of God is revealed, the community takes shape and lives out this new divine-shaped life that they have in God. They experience the fullness of God, the Trinity poured out on them, and immediately it creates and shapes their community. And so today, on Trinity Sunday, we're going to look not so much today at the mystery of the Trinity itself, but at the shape of the community that Trinity-filled believers created right away. When the church first comes to know and experience the full revelation of God as he truly is, as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when that happens, immediately a new community takes place. As the Trinity, if you will, becomes real to them, we see a new community come into existence. And what I want us to do is look closely at what that community looks like, what our community is to be like, filled with the knowledge and presence of the Trinity. And I promise they're brief, but I'm going to offer you six elements of that community that should shape ours. And I will say, I once did seven and you all teased me. Last week I did five and no one said a word, so maybe six is the magic number. But anyway, I'm going to offer you six characteristics of that Trinity-shaped community. So as we begin, I'm actually going to invite you to open the Bible, not your bulletin, because I'm actually going to primarily look at something not read, so if you not read in the service today. So if you'd open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 in the pew Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 910. Acts chapter 2, page 910. Acts chapter 2, 910. And we're going to look at six characteristics of this Trinity-shaped community. So six of them. The first one is this. The first characteristic that we see here immediately is mission. Mission. Immediately after the fullness of God is poured out, specifically the Holy Spirit comes upon them, the person of the Trinity they were missing. The Holy Spirit comes, the full nature of God is made known, and immediately this new community, the church, goes on mission. So verse 14 begins this section. The Holy Spirit comes, and Peter gets up to declare God's word to the onlookers. And throughout the rest of the book of Acts, and really the rest of the Bible, but looking at the rest of the book of Acts, we see the church growing and expanding as Trinity-formed Christians go every which way to share the gospel, including reaching all the way to us. So in John 16, which was read today, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will declare the truth to God's people. Well, here he is. Here he has come, filled the first Christians, and gives them God's word, which they then declare to the world, and thousands put their faith in Jesus. As Christians experience the fullness of the Trinity, God as he is, they go on mission. And I put mission first on the list of six, honestly, because it's often the one that comes last. I don't mean this to be negative or critical of other churches, but you can just see on church websites regularly their list of ministries has mission as the last one. If it's last on our list of priorities, we can sometimes feel good about ourselves for working on other things on the list, and maybe we just never really got around to the last one. But as the newly Trinity-shaped community is formed, they immediately turn to mission to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know him and have not yet been saved by him. Mission is not an optional last step. The Trinity-shaped community of Christians immediately turns outward to share the love of Jesus with the world. So the first characteristic we see immediately is mission. Second, devotion. We see devotion. So this is in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Devotion. They didn't casually give it a try. They didn't engage when it was convenient. When they experienced the full nature of God, they devoted themselves to living that out in community. They were devoted to the reading and studying of the Bible, the apostles' teaching, to being together in meaningful fellowship, to worship in communion and in the prayers of the church. Devoted, holy, fully, wholeheartedly committed to the worshiping life of the church. The Trinity-shaped community is devoted to the worshiping life of the church. Are we devoted? Are you devoted to worshiping God together? One piece of the pandemic that has been so difficult, but also honestly so revealing of our hearts, is how many Christians in this congregation, certainly, but also, I mean, the worldwide church, have stepped back from worship because we had to briefly, but never stepped back in. I don't mean this as judgment, that's not my intention at all, but simply naming it for what it is so that we can try to address it. But are we devoted to worship? And online doesn't count. Unless that's all you can do because for one reason or another you can't gather with other Christians, that's different. But online in our living room, because it's convenient, is not devotion in the way that we see in the Bible. A child in the church where I grew up, no, this wasn't me, though it easily could have been, but a child in the church where I grew up said to his mother, "Mom, why do we have to go to church when we could just watch it on TV?" And the mother responded in perhaps the greatest parental response to any question ever, "Mom, why do we have to go to church when we could just watch it on TV?" She responded, "Okay, sweetie, and for lunch afterwards, we can watch McDonald's commercials." But are we devoted to the worship of Jesus together as the community of God? The first Christians who experienced the fullness of the Trinity were devoted to the worshiping life of God's church. Devoted. Third, We see in this community, we see power. Power. The power of God marked this new community. So Acts 2:43 says, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and God does powerful works through the new community. Now, we are not the apostles, and one of the marks of those specific individuals was being used by God for miraculous and powerful healings and signs. But God continues to use his people, to use us, for his powerful works. He continues to fill his people with power from on high. So we here at Holy Cross, we're the cathedral church for our diocese. And one of the things that that means for us is that each year we host synod. Clergy and lay leaders from all over the diocese come here for our annual gathering. And at our most recent synod, one of the priests in our diocese received prayer here in this room. He had had surgery, and as a result had actually been unable to speak above a very faint whisper for months. He couldn't preach, he couldn't lead services, he really couldn't visit people or talk on the phone because of how difficult that communication was. But he was prayed for while he was here, and God healed him. He turned the corner immediately. His voice is returned. He's able to continue in ministry. The power of God touched him, and you would never know that he was unable to talk. Get prayer in our prayer chapel today during communion. The power of God is present and active in his new community. Mission, devotion, and power. A fourth one that we see is frequency. Frequency. Acts 2:46 says that the Trinity-shaped community gathered for worship and growth together day by day. Not occasionally, not when the Braves aren't playing, not even when Rafael Nadal isn't going for his 14th French Open title like he was last Sunday during our service. That was tough for me. But committed to gathering day by day, week by week. Frequency. Now, acknowledging that our context is such that we are spread out, we're not suggesting that you must gather with other Christians for worship every day. You are not expected to come to church services every day, but there is no reason that Christians shouldn't be gathering together in the church every week. And Christians should be together in other times around in homes and around dinner tables and in Bible studies, and we have those opportunities as well. But the frequency of being together for worship and growth in the early church was high. The Trinity-shaped community was immediately committed to being together for worship and prayer and growth frequently. So a frequency in their gathering. Fifth, authenticity. I was a little cautious in using that word, but authenticity characterizes the Trinity-shaped community. And the reason I was a little cautious about using it is because authenticity has become sort of a loaded term in our society. Authenticity is good and crucial for community, but the problem is that our society tends to mean something very different by authenticity. Being authentic, being true to who you are, often just means giving us permission to sin. Being who you really are, you know, the claim that I'm just being true to myself or I'm being authentic is often just a way for us to justify our sin. So the married person who says, we see this in the movie, but people have said this to me before, when the married person who's having an affair says something like, I'm just being true to myself. No, you're sinning and rejecting God. That's not what we mean by being authentic. In fact, the most authentic thing that we can do in the church community is to admit and confess our sins. That's being authentic and true to who we really are. So Acts 2:37 in this passage, when the people hear the word of God preached by Peter, it says that they were cut to the heart. They were honest with what was really in their heart. They were being authentic with what was really in them, and they confessed their sin and repented as Peter called them to. Being truly authentic is being open and honest. That's not permission to sin, but an honesty about what is in our hearts so that we can move out of and away from our sin. The Trinity-shaped community, the church, became the place where people were able to be honest with the messiness in their lives and were able to experience healing and new life in Jesus. Without judgment or rejection, being open and honest together about our sin and moving forward in newness of life in Jesus. Being authentic in this case means being open and honest about our sin and shortcomings, not hiding them, not putting up a front, but being honest with ourselves and with others so that we can move forward in holiness together to the glory of our Lord Jesus. Authenticity. Mission, devotion, power, frequency, and authenticity. And number six, compassion. The Trinity-shaped community was known for its compassion. They experience God as the Trinity, and immediately they start caring for each other in new and significant ways. So Acts 2:45 says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Immediately, the Christians in community together started sacrificing what they had in order to help others. This wasn't just the wealthy or those who had plenty of extra, but people started selling what they had specifically so that they would have more to give away. This was essentially first century eBay or Facebook Marketplace. Selling what they had in order so that they could have more to give away. But this Trinity-shaped community lived out deep compassion for one another. So here at Holy Cross, we together, we are committed to giving away many of the resources that we're entrusted with to those in need. Currently, we give away at least 16% of all the income that we're entrusted with to ministry outside of our walls, and that doesn't even count the above and beyond giving that we always end up doing. So for example, just recently, the generosity of this congregation, we raised $29,000 to help homeless veterans in our community in Jesus' name. Last year, we gave away $5,000 to help women specifically coming out of abusive situations. Last year, this church's generosity, we fully funded the building of 2 permanent homes for widows and children and their children in need in Kenya through one of our ministry partners. We gave enough money to feed the 90 furloughed Christian teachers and their families in Uganda for a month during COVID lockdowns. We've helped numerous people here in this room and in our local community with direct benevolence assistance in their time of need. The Trinity-shaped community, the church, is to be marked by compassion in Jesus' name. Compassion. As the first Christians, the beginning of the church, as they experienced the full revelation of God as He is, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they experience Him as He is, that immediately changed and shaped their community. Being filled with the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the community began to then immediately live that out together in mission to the lost, in devotion to worship and growth, in power, in prayer and healings filled with the Holy Spirit, in frequency in their gatherings, in authenticity and acknowledging and confessing their sin, showing forgiveness to one another for their failings, and moving forward together in wholeness and new life in Jesus, and in compassion, sacrificing for the good of others in need. So may we, as this piece of God's church, may we, as Holy Cross Cathedral, be filled with the fullness of our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may we be committed to a Trinity-shaped life together. Mission, devotion, power, frequency, authenticity, and compassion. To the honor and glory of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.